Welcome to the Millennial Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Jaisharee Allen, a board-certified family physician who's passionate about the health of my fellow millennials. I know we're booked and busy, but your first wealth is your health. So I'm taking some of my most important health messages and bringing them here to you on this podcast. My goal is to share some valuable information and draw awareness to some important health topics, but I encourage you to please consult your physician for personalized medical advice. Hey everyone, this is Dr. Jaisharee here with you, recording the Millennial Health Podcast live on IG. It's going to be with Dr. Tosin, who is going to come and join us pretty soon. Super exciting. A funny story as she joins. So Dr. Tosin recorded this podcast with me already, actually. And it did not save. Like, this is every podcaster's nightmare. To record a whole podcast. And it was good too. Like, it was really good. We got some really good content out there. And when it was all done, I hit save on my end because I control the podcast on my end. And only my audio came in. So I had absolutely no idea what was going on. Like, why? I don't know, like my podcast did not save at all. Like, it was so crazy. So I am so grateful for Dr. Tosin Odunsi. She is an OBGYN who I met back in medical school. She was super awesome, always planning like review sessions for us, always like trying to help us like pass our exams. I mean, whatever it is that we needed, she was certainly there doing it all for us, which is so hard to believe because she was also trying to maintain her own schedule. So let's have Dr. Tosin join us to start this live re-recording of the Millennial Health Podcast. So once Dr. Tosin sends us a request, we will get her going. This is super exciting.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. I am well. Thank you so much. I was talking about you before you joined on that I'm so grateful for you for being so gracious with your time and re-recording this podcast with us.
No problem. It happened.
Oh my gosh. All right. So let's jump right in. I want to give the audience an introduction to you though, because you have a pretty awesome bio that I think is incredible, deserves to be heard for sure. And, you know, I especially love you as the life motivator. As I put on my post yesterday, you are not new to this. You are true to this. This is what you've been doing from the time that we were in medical school, prepping notes for us, review sessions for us. So you're the real deal, as real as it gets. So it's my pleasure to have you here on the Millennial Health Podcast Instagram Live recording with us, Dr. Tosin Odunsi. So an OBGYN, deeply committed to the promotion of diversity in medicine. You're the founder of the Mentorship Squad. Oh, by the way, I have two meetings tomorrow with the two mentees that you've assigned. And that's a community comprised of Black and Latinx women who are seeking mentorship along their journey in medicine. You're also really passionate about overall wellness, which we know and love about you, which is one of the things we want to talk about today, kind of prioritizing your health, both physical and emotional health and well-being. And, you know, your resilience, girl, I mean, you share so much. You're so vulnerable, so honest, so open on your Instagram page at Life by Tosin, which we all love. So let's have this awesome conversation here, which everyone knows will be recorded and posted as the podcast episode that we made an attempt to record earlier. So Dr. Tosin, first question, could you tell us a little about your journey to becoming an OBGYN. How did you end up becoming a physician? Sure.
First, I want to say thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure to re-record. I don't remember what I said the last time, so this is going to be nice and juicy this time. Uh-huh. So I have wanted to be a physician since I was 3 years old, and I never changed my mind. I never wavered. And when I went to college, I was a human biology, health, and society major at Cornell University. And I was very much interested in global health and maybe doing medical missions. Mm-hmm. So I didn't actually go straight into medical school after college. I went into a public health program. And then I applied to medical school and then ended up going to Meharry Medical College, which mm-hmm. is where we both met. Mm-hmm. And I was gung-ho orthopedic surgery when I started off at Meharry. I was president of the club for a couple of years, and then I did my third year OBGYN rotation, and I really fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was a good way to marry my public health interests. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could give a lot of impact to women and just have that impact in that field. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got to OBGYN. And I really just wanted to focus on women's health and follow them from adolescence all the way till end of life as well.
Oh, wow.
And I'm definitely a surgeon, so I wanted to mix that in too.
Can you tell us a little about your career now? What's the percentage? Like, has it panned out to be what you expected it to be in terms of the flexibility with seeing women in the clinic, women's health, and operating at the same time? That's one of the questions I like to ask physicians because, yeah, some of us have had some journeys that have brought us to this point, and it's like, well, that was not what I expected.
Well, I finished residency last year, and I took 4 months off, much needed. I was completely burnt out after residency, and I wanted to take at least 4 to 6 months off just to heal from residency and like reclaim my time, reclaim my life back. And I'm actually an OB hospitalist, and I started not too long ago, about actually 6 months ago. And what that means is that I don't actually have a clinic. I am only in the hospital managing patients. Mm-hmm. So I am backing, meaning I'm backup for the midwives if they have a more complicated patient. I'm backup for the private physicians. Let's say they are in a C-section and they have laboring patients that are about to deliver. I will jump in until they're available, or I will do whatever is needed. For example, one of the physicians the other day, she had to go do a D&C procedure, a surgical procedure on an ER patient, but her patient was delivering the baby wasn't doing too well. So I ended up doing a vacuum on her patient. Mm-hmm. And then I also triage patients that come in through labor and delivery to see if they need to be admitted, observation, or just go home. And then for the ER patients, if there's emergencies or they don't have a provider, I take them on. And then I also operate on them if they need emergency procedures.
Oh, okay. That's a good mix. That's a good mix. Yeah. That keeps medicine interesting. That keeps it interesting. So to my favorite thing about you, life motivator, tell us more. How did we get to that point?
Yeah. I like that statement because during my residency, I had a major life event. My husband passed away at the end of my intern year of residency, and I didn't know who I was. A lot of my identity was in being a wife and in being a physician, and I had to really do a journey back to self. So in that journey, that's where I was encouraging other people when I didn't feel that encouraged or motivated. So I motivated people to do life things, whatever area, and that's how it came about.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. How did you bounce back from that? What were some of the strategies that it took to getting through that? 'Cause that's a rough patch.
Yeah. So I actually don't remember my second year of residency. There's about a 10-month window where I just don't have much memory. And I think that was my brain protecting itself from that trauma. And it was October 2016 where I reached the heaviest weight from a lot of depression eating and anxiety eating. And I just didn't like how I felt. And I said to myself, this can't be the rest of my life. And my husband had passed in June of 2015. So that's a long time of just grieving and grieving and not really feeling valuable or like my life had worth anymore. And then slowly, just incrementally, I started reclaiming my life and going on this journey to self. So some of the things that I did, I'm very close with my family, so they actually didn't leave me for months after my husband passed, and there was always somebody around. I tried to exercise, but it wasn't until October 2016 that I started taking physical fitness and wellness seriously and using that as a tool to cope. And then I started dancing to Afrobeats a lot, and I'm always dancing even though I'm not that great, but there's this release of energy that I get when I'm stressed out. And yeah, just finding things that bring me joy. That's very important, even if it's one thing, because residency is so stressful. Mm-hmm. Just finding that one thing each day or each week to look forward to is important.
Okay. I love that you've prioritized that, because I think a lot of us struggle and, you know, we go through really tough times and we just tell ourselves, we just need to keep pushing. Like, we just need to keep going. We just need to keep doing it, you know, and that's not healthy. So I love that you were able to come to a place where you said, I need to do something different. Like, this can't be the rest of my life, you know?
For sure.
So I commend you on that. That I think is what's most, admirable. I'm just like, whoa, for that self, that realization, you know, and to actually put the steps in, to put the work in, to turn your situation around, I think is quite incredible. But you are actually really good with fitness, I will say.
No, it's a struggle every day. There's no day where I'm just like, yes, work out today. Never.
We feel that just from looking. I'm just like, oh my God, you're always running all these challenges and bringing other people along, which is another thing I really admire too. Bringing other people along on this journey of, you know, wellness and like improving your current state, you know, that's one of the most incredible parts of this, that you can do this for yourself, but you're doing it for so many other people too.
I started it selfishly because I need group accountability. Mm-hmm. So then it turned into, okay, every month a bunch of ladies are going to get together and hold ourselves accountable. And that started last fall. Mm-hmm. And now it's like at least 30 women every month, just like trying to make good decisions and not regret like eating the 3 Rice Krispie treats that I did yesterday. And just doing better each day. So I think making it realistic has been really fun and rewarding.
That's been really good. I think one of the hardest parts is just giving yourself the grace to just start over, just try again. You know, if you fall off the wagon, it's okay. Just get back up and try again the next day.
Yeah. You know? You have the rest of your life. So each day you can just choose to make different decisions and then not look in the rearview mirror of what you did in the past. Because if you're looking in the back, you're not focusing on the future or the front, and then you're just going to get into an accident or get in trouble. So I like to push people to do that.
And look forward. What about, so that's your physical health. What about emotionally? How do you take care of yourself and your mental well-being?
And I'm so passionate about this topic, because I think as physicians, once we cross that threshold of going into the hospital, like, you've got to leave all your personal stuff behind. You have to focus on the patients and just pretty much put yourself last. And one of the things that really helps is having that objective person that you can talk to, a professional, a therapist, because there's so many things that happen. So dealing with patients passing away or complications or the long hours, and then still trying to study for these darn exams that we have all the time. There's just so much stress. And I think taking a little bit of the burden off of our loved ones, it does help those relationships. Instead of kind of like dumping on them, you have somebody else who's not involved in mm-hmm. your family, who can give you the tools to deal with stress and anxiety, or maybe depression. And you don't have to be in a depressed state. You don't have to have lost your husband to see a therapist. It's just, how do I get through this life and enjoy it as much as possible?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm as passionate about this topic as you are. I'm just like, if there is a job out there for the unofficial ambassador of therapy, sign me up. I think it's just so valuable, you know? My husband said, I'm trying to get everybody to go to therapy. Yes, I am. Yeah. That's the truth. I am.
It should be free, but everyone should go.
You know, because I think there's just, like you said, having this objective presence, you know, I think we don't recognize oftentimes when we're hurting, when we're going through pain, how that projects onto the people who are closest to us, the people who love us most. You know, we're kind of in the trenches, our blinders are on, just trying to survive and trying to hold it together, trying to like string together some pieces of happiness, some joy to keep our day going. And you really don't have reserve for the people in your life who love you and appreciate you and pour so much into you, but you don't want to neglect them either along the way, you know? And for me, I actually found similar to what you were saying, like therapy was helpful for me because I was coming home every night and just kind of unloading all of my stress and anxiety and everything from the day onto my husband, or I'd call my mother, or I'd call my friend. And I'm like, ooh, I can't do this to the people who love me most. Like, I need to like figure this out, you know? And I went and got some help, figure it out.
Right. This is amazing. There's no shame. Mm-hmm. There's no shame. There's no weakness to to asking for help. Uh-huh. And I feel like it makes life so much better.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to touch on, how do you encourage some of the people in your circle to kind of live to their highest potential, right? You are the life motivator, which I just love, by the way. Have you like, you know, trademarked that, comma LLC?
Yes.
But as the life motivator, how do you, when you've come across friends and family who are really struggling, what strategies have you used to try to help them? Because that's one of the questions I get a lot from, you know, people that I talk to often. Like, I'm okay, but there are people in my life who aren't. How do I kind of get them to the place of help?
Yeah, I think humans are very egocentric and they like talking about themselves. So you can apply that to if somebody's going through a tough time, you don't want to make yourself the center of the topic. So be a listening ear, listen to what they have to say, validate their feelings, and then kind of come down to their level and be empathetic and try and feel what they're feeling, even if you don't understand. And I went through this during the grieving process. It was like people would just say insensitive things, or they would talk about their husband that they got divorced from. And I was like, that's not the same thing at all. And I think people just get a bit careless with what they say when other people are struggling. So the number one thing is just to listen and ask them how you can help, and you do your best to help. I don't actually like it when people say, yeah, just let me know if you need anything. Because of the strong person that I am, I'm probably not going to ask for help. But you just do small things that you can think of. Maybe they need a dinner. I was always looking for food in residency. or maybe just like take them out for a walk or shopping or something. Just simple things.
Yeah. So ways of showing them that you'll be there as opposed to just like lip service. I like that.
And then also reminding them of who they are. I'm very good at telling myself who I am and reciting those positive affirmations over and over again. And sometimes if you're in a very low point, you're not able to see who you are and how valuable you are and the worth that you have. So I think as a friend or as a family member, you can remind people like, you deserve to be here. You're smart. You are all the good qualities about that person. And they may not believe you at first, but they'll remember those things that you said about them later.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we had a really good conversation about this in the original recording. You've been so resilient throughout this process, especially with these exams that are just like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. We are so over them in medicine, but not just in medicine. I think, you know, every industry, every profession has some equivalent, right, of these barriers and these hoops that we have to jump through that genuinely don't prove our worth or what we're capable of bringing to the field. You know, do you want to share a little about that? I'll leave it up to you as to how much you would want to share, but it was awesome what you said in that last podcast recording.
Yeah, so I ended up repeating every single exam, every single important exam that I've had to take. And I can laugh about it now because, like I said, I know my worth and I know my value. And I took step one twice. I think I failed by 2 points. And that was so devastating. And you need that exam to move on to your third year rotations. And I really thought my life was over. And went into a depressive state. And then I was like, okay, step two, let's go for it. But then my grandmother, she passed away maybe 2 or 3 days before, and I was ready for the exam. But that emotional pull, I failed by a point. And I found out at the end of an interview for residency, and I was just crushed again. But this time was different because I got the result. I had got the result in November, and in order to graduate that following year, I needed to turn around and take it by December. Mm-hmm. So I ended up flying from Meharry in Nashville to Buffalo to study for 2 weeks, didn't even finish the question bank. My two sisters and my cousin drove to Canada with me to just keep me company and encourage me, and I took it and passed, thank mm-hmm. God. And then we go on to step three. And I did not take that 2 times or 3 times. I ended up taking it. It took me 4 times to pass that exam. And I was so sure that my program was going to kick me out. And every day I went to work, I was like, this could be the last day. And I didn't sink into a very deep depression. It was just more of a, I don't know what I'm going to do after this. I don't actually know what else I'm good at. But they let me take it the third, and I was going through the grieving process too. The first 2 times I took it, I didn't feel like myself at all. I was still having panic attacks and PTSD. And the third time I did feel like myself, but I ended up failing by a point again. And then the fourth time I ended up passing. And then when I took the OBGYN written board, I was so prepared. I studied for a year because I was like, you know what? I think I'm done with this failing exams thing. Like, I'm good. And I ended up passing. And I have never felt that confident about an exam before. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's interesting that it can take such a toll on your emotion. And there are all these factors that go in. Like, do you have migraines or headaches like I do? Mm-hmm. I can't sit for 8 hours in a row without getting headaches. And there's just so many factors that have nothing to do with your intelligence, which is why I'm very like rolling my eyes at these exams. But it's an objective measure that they use, and you have to jump through the hoops
to get through it. You know, one of the stories I've never really told in detail, and I still have to like skirt through it because I think it just gets me still too emotional. But I'm so encouraged by you sharing your story and just speaking up and just being so honest, being so vulnerable, being so open, because it gives other people permission to do the same, to not feel inadequate,
to not feel less than or to not feel subpar, you know, especially in our industries that like hold us to these standards. You know, Michelle Obama in her book, Becoming, wrote about the fact that she failed the bar. You know, like, look at how phenomenal of a woman she is, right? Look at all she has gone on to accomplish, but the heartbreak she experienced in failing the bar. And I think of you. I'm just like, honestly, I did not know all this in medical school at all, because you were always so giving. You always made time to be there for other people. You were hosting like tutoring sessions, like seminars. Like, you were always there for us, you know? So I'm like, you are such an incredible physician, yes, but you know, what you give back to medicine, even with your mentoring program, you know, I think is like huge, like absolutely, absolutely, absolutely
huge. Thank you. You know? I appreciate that. That took my heart.
Yes, no, yeah. We appreciate you more than, and I think that's important. That's kind of one of my things in life now. I've unfortunately lost two really close family members in like a 2 month span, my grandmother and my father's twin sister. You know, my aunt, and it just kind of made me realize that you need to celebrate people while they're alive. My husband and I were talking about this. I'm like, you know, throw a party for the graduation, throw a party for this. And he was like, no, you know, a party isn't necessarily the way, but it's whatever makes people feel appreciated, you know? And so my gratitude to you is like, you have this awesome mentoring program. I'm in a position where I can be a mentor. So I'm supporting, you know, your program. So I'm excited for the students, but I think to me, it's my way of like showing that I support what you do for us, you know? And girl, I am so glad you made it past these exams, because like, look at what we would be missing. That's kind of my point with these tests. You know, look at what we would be missing, like, had you not made it through, you know? Like, which is incredible. Those tests do not validate you. And yeah. Like, this is so awesome. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Yeah, I got to a point in residency where it wasn't about me anymore, because every day I was like, I'm going to go quit. Mm-hmm. But it's for the people coming behind me that I was able to push through. And even though I spent an extra year and 2 months, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it matters because I didn't want to be there. But yeah, I think that's powerful what you said. Like, we would be missing out on mm-hmm. what I could be forming now. And it does give me credibility that I finished. Mm-hmm. And I want people to know that they're not the only one that's struggling on this path. I've been on this path for 15 years, and it can be draining. It can be discouraging. But if you look at all the faces of Black women who have made it, they have similar stories sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's not all, oh yeah, I got my MD and everything went well. And I think mm-hmm. people just need to not be ashamed of their full story mm-hmm. and not like edit out yes. the not so sweet parts. Cause yes. that's your story that makes everything, it makes the story juicy, mm-hmm. I think.
And I think it makes you relatable when you get to the point where you are today, you know? I feel so empowered by like, oh my God, like Tosin, like she did this and she's still doing all these things, you know? I was trying to encourage my husband recently, and I used this example. In Hawaii, there is a road called the Road to Hana, which it's like a thing. So for anybody who's traveled to Hawaii, it's beautiful. Like, it's a long, windy road, and Hana is not a destination. Like, it's a town, but there's nothing in Hana, right? It's all about the journey. And if you type in wherever you are, right, on the island, and put your destination as Hana, you know, when you get to that point, the GPS, at least Google Maps, will say it's like an hour and, I don't know, 30 minutes from like the airport to Hana. It's like an hour and 30 minutes. But everybody knows it does not take an hour and 30 minutes to get from the airport to Hana, right? There are all these windy roads. There are all these like really incredible things to see along the way, waterfalls to stop and, you know, rivers and really good food spots and, you know, that sort of thing. And you keep driving and you get to Hana and you're like 3.5 hours later, by the way, you get to Hana and you're like, Okay, I'm in Hana. What's in Hana? There's nothing. There's nothing in Hana. It was about the journey. You know?
I love that story.
Yeah, so it's awesome. You go to Hawaii, check it out. Road to Hana. Gotta go. Gotta go to Road to Hana. Rent a car and drive it. Don't trust a GPS. But I think of that similar to our lives. You know, we think it's supposed to take 4 years of, you know, college, 4 years of medical school, you know, 1 year of internship, 2 to 3, 4 years of residency, depending on your specialty. And then I go to fellowship for 2 years and then I have a job. Like, we have this perfect linear Google Maps GPS path that we are envisioning. And really, this is a 3.5 hour journey with some really awesome stops along the way, but also with some really rough ones and ones that, you know, in hindsight, I wish I didn't have to stop there, but I had to get gas. I had to breathe. I had to buy food. Like, I had to stop at some of these places that probably weren't my ideal locations for a stop off, you know? Right. So I love that you shared. Oh, thank you. Yeah. This is awesome. This is our soundbite right here. So, Dr. Tosin, you know, this is Millennial Health, and my goal is to advocate for the health of my fellow millennials. I want to see us live stronger, healthier lives. You know, we are now the largest living generation in the United States. So every guest I have on this podcast, I have now started asking one final question. If you could stand on a mountaintop and every single millennial in the world could hear you and you deliver this one message, what would you say to us?
That is such a good question. And I did not come prepared. No, but one of my mantras that I've had to tell myself, especially towards the last year of residency where I wasn't sure if I was going to make it out, was God has given me everything I need to succeed. And I deserve to be here. I should have a seat at the table. I have value to add to the world. I have worth. And I'm created in God's image, and God doesn't make any mistakes. So that's what I would say.
Dr. Tosin, we love you here at Millennial Health. Any thoughts for us? Anything you wanted to address that we didn't really hit on?
Well, people can find me on Life by Tosin and Instagram, and then I have a website as well. Mm-hmm. If people do want to come on the wellness challenge, it's every single month because I need to just be accountable every month. Or else I will fall off the bandwagon and just be in my pajamas eating everything in the house. So if you go to lifebytosin.com, you go to wellness challenges, you can sign up. It's so fun. We have a group me. We do Zoom workouts together. And each cycle, I'm like revamping it and getting exciting things added. Uh-huh. Also, if you are somebody on the medical journey, you can go to my website and go to the mentorship squad and enroll either as a mentor or as a mentee. If you're a senior medical student, because I want the medical students to have an opportunity to mentor the younger ones that are in high school and college. If you're a resident, or if you're a fellow or a practicing physician, you can be a mentor. And I love it because it's Black and Latinx women, mentoring Black and Latinx women, and we're going to save the world. I'm a very much INFJ and definitely think I'm having impact. So I love the mentorship squad, and you guys can get involved. We have a newsletter. We have Zoom parties for fun. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Millennial Health Podcast. Though my goal is to share some valuable information and draw awareness to some important health issues, I encourage you to please consult your physician for personalized medical advice. I hope this information was beneficial to you. And if so, please subscribe to the Millennial Health Podcast and share with your friends. Please also leave us a review.
If you have questions or comments, feel free to reach out on Instagram or Twitter at Dr. Jay Sheree, DrJayShere.